the knowledge that must be acquired to purify the mind so that that knowledge is well established and results into renunciation in action, not of action. That's the beauty of this chapter. Renunciation in action. And so this chapter essentially discusses the various spiritual practices that we must do to bring about the purity of mind. Because in the pure mind, when the guru shares the knowledge or imparts the knowledge, in the pure mind, that knowledge settles better, because pure mind is agitationless mind, quiet mind, peaceful mind. What is a peaceful mind? That which has no raga and dvesha. Raga likes, dvesha dislikes. Raga likes, dvesha dislikes. Our entire life is full of that only. Raga and dvesha. That which we like, we keep. That which we don't like, we try to avoid it at any cost. That's what our life is all about. And therefore, Bhagavan says, Nistraigunyo Bhava, in some chapter, Bhagavan says, Arjun, go beyond the three gunas. And when you go beyond the three gunas, you give up raga and dvesha. So that's what we are going to study about. We are quickly going to review the entire Gita very, very quickly. And then we are going to begin with verse number 38. Shaddhavan Lavate Vidya. That's what the verse starts with. So we'll start that in just a few minutes. So essentially the study of Bhagavad Gita is meant to understand, appreciate, comprehend, and make your own the deep message given by this sentence, Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art, that thou art. That which you always look at sky and look for him, that he's not there anywhere, but we still keep looking. Every time something goes wrong, we do this, why me? He's not there, guys, he's not there. So that, Tat Tvam, you, right here. Asi, are. You are that. So then we start looking for what? What is he talking about? What am I? You look at the outer world to find yourself. It's not there. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us to understand and comprehend that and this are one and the same. As simple as that. And that is why it is very complicated, because it's so simple. Because we, as a rule, human beings don't like anything simple. We make life very, very complicated so that we can have right to complain. That's how we live. All the time. We love to complain. Somebody was saying day before yesterday that my grandfather used to complain at least 20 times a day. And so when I decided which way to go, I started thinking, who should be my role model? Should it be my grandfather, who constantly complains, or should it be Gurudev, who constantly and all the time smiles from the heart? So you see, complaining is our birthright. Or so we think. So, rather than complaining, like we all have come together today. We could have been cooking for Super Bowl. We could have been watching pre-Super Bowl setup or whatever. But we thought that this is more important in our life. And that in itself shows that we are on the right track. We are on the right track. Because this is important to us. important to us to understand who we are, where have we come from, where we are going, and who is going anywhere, actually. Are we going anywhere? Who is going? That's it. So Bhagavad Gita teaches the oneness of that and this, and establishes the simple fact that you are that all-pervading reality that manifests as many, many, many things and beings in this universe, including the universe. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita in first six chapters discusses Tvam, you. The idea is to bring ourselves from the ordinary limited entity that we think about to the divine status. And for that, there is a very definite procedure that Bhagavan has established, and Bhagavan teaches that in first six chapters. So that we come from the animal man to divine man. That is the idea. So first chapter says, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, Vishada means sorrow. Sorrow? How is sorrow a yoga? How is sorrow a yoga? Doesn't that sound kind of ridiculous? Why is sorrow a yoga? Why is sorrow a yoga? Aha! Three chapters done, and all forgotten conveniently so that we can now forget fourth. We are coming to the end of that too. No, we are supposed to remember. Vishada, sorrow in itself, is not anywhere close to yoga. But when a sorrow, genuine sorrow in the heart, results in the self-knowledge, then that becomes a yoga. When you have that deep hurt in your heart, that I don't know who I am, where am I going, why am I doing what I am doing, there must be something better to live for than this, like Bhagavan Buddha did. He was a prince, and everything he could ask for, and then some, beautiful wife, beautiful child. And then he saw the misery of life in various forms, and he said, is this life? If this is life, it's not me. He became enlightened, he became Buddha. That's what each one of us has the potential to do. That's what we learned Gita for. So that we can go from being Buddhu to Buddha. That's the idea. So when sorrow expressed results in knowledge, self-knowledge, it becomes a yoga. That is why Arjuna Vishada Yoga, the yoga of Arjuna's sorrow. Second chapter, Sankhya Yoga. Bhagavan essentially summarizes the whole Gita that he is going to teach. It's a, what is it called in English? Prelogue? One is prologue, one is prelude. Yeah, prelude. It's a prelude. Bhagavan summarizes very nicely, quickly, the entire teaching of Bhagavad Gita in Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya means knowledge, yoga means yoga. So Bhagavan does that in second chapter, and then Bhagavan decides that I must go through little more systematically, step by step, and explain and expand on what these teachings are. So in third chapter, Bhagavan teaches Karma Yoga. From Karma to Karma Yoga is the journey of chapter 3. From karma to karma yoga, to do that journey, you require fourfold equipment. It's called sadhana chatushtaya. Viveka, vairagya, shamadhi shatka sampatti, and mumukshutvam. Viveka, the sense of discrimination. We do that all the time. Each spouse asks the other, what kind of shark you want to eat today? Kanda or Bataka? That is discrimination. Well, he said discrimination between temporary and temporary, not between the ultimate discrimination that is between temporary and permanent. So we do discrimination all the time. Viveka, Vairagya, we always have temporary Vairagya when we see something very sorrowful. It is called Smashana Vairagya. For a few minutes, we become so full of it. In more than one sense. And then, in another 10 minutes, right in the middle of that sorrowful situation, we are laughing and giggling and joking. Because we don't understand. We still think our happiness lies in the outer world. What lies in the outer world is the source of all our sorrows. Once that is understood, real Vairagya comes. When you are little, you play with marbles. When you are 17 years old, you don't play with marbles. Because even if somebody gives you 1,000 marbles free of charge, you have no desire to do that because you have overgrown that desire. You have assimilated the desire. You have not suppressed that desire. You have assimilated. You have grown out of that. So when the experiences of the world makes you realize that there is no real happiness here, then you grow out of it. Then you are going out to look for the real source of happiness, real happiness. So, karma yoga. So, from karma to karma yoga requires sadhana chatushtaka, vivek, vairagya. Shamadhi shatka sampatti is shama dama uparati, titiksha, kshama, and samadhana. So chapter 3 essentially deals with how to develop sadhana chatushtaya. And then we come to our special 4th chapter. It says jnana karma sannyasa yoga. To understand, appreciate and comprehend how to practice in action. That's what chapter number 4 teaches us. And because we don't have complete knowledge, chapter number 4 tells us, teaches us, Anilji went through this with you in detail, I'm sure, that you need to approach a guru. A guru, what kind of guru? We also have to know. There are two definite qualifications given in Shastra, Kshatriya and Brahmanishtha. All the teachers, as great as they are, they may not be Brahmanishtha, they may not be realized souls, but they must be Kshatriya. They must have studied and comprehended Vedanta from Guru Shishya Parampara so that nothing comes from your own pocket, like you see in the news media today. All kinds of opinions are passed on as news. And we are so smart, we accept all that. Yes, yes. Because we've forgotten how to read. We all have forgotten how to read. Kshatriya, the one who is taught in Guru Shishya Parampara tradition, that is the guru that you go to. And how do you go to? Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. You studied that in sloka number 34, I think, 4th chapter. We'll come to that. So to gain the knowledge so that you can practice karma sannyasa, in action. Guru, you study, you comprehend, and then practice Karma Sannyasa Yoga, which is chapter number 5th. Chapter number 5th is Karma Sannyasa Yoga, where you, having acquired the knowledge at intellectual level, practice that knowledge through Shravanam and Mananam. So that becomes established in you, that knowledge. Once that knowledge is established in you, we go to chapter number 6, which is meditation. Now you are ready to sit in meditation and contemplate upon that oneness that you are. That is the meditation. When your mind is totally peaceful, when your intellect is totally pure, subtle, then only you can sit in meditation. Every morning you cross your legs and sit on the ground and do meditation. It's a very noble thing to do, and I would encourage all of us to do that. But that's essentially contemplation. Shravanam gives you knowledge. Mananam clarifies the confusion that you may have in the knowledge. And then when the Mananam clears up the knowledge completely, but yet you don't see any changes in your life because of that knowledge, then you do meditation. Because you want to have that knowledge practiced in life, day-to-day life. Old folks like me can lecture you for hours, but if I don't practice, what good it is? It's useless. So practice is the main thing. So these first 6 chapters take us from the perception of our own self as the limited entity to become a divine being. The next 6 chapters, Bhagavan takes us from 7 through 12. Bhagavan takes us through various discussions to make us realize what is the nature of that Brahman. And then in the last 6 chapters, Bhagavan explains as to why these two are nothing but one and the same. And so when we study these, and we say, oh yeah, yeah, they're both one and the same. What have we learned? Nothing. When we study these, and when we know both of these are one and the same, and we know that to be me, when we know that Brahman to be me, then we have comprehended the knowledge. Then it becomes our own knowledge. Then our interaction in the world with things and beings reflect that knowledge. We become totally fearless. We share unconditional love with everyone. You know, this is the nature of Brahman. Mera tera won't work. Because there is no tera. You see, me and mine, you and yours, which are the basis of raga, dvesha, likes and dislikes. Once you realize you are the Brahman, then where is the other? There's no otherness. And then so life becomes extremely blissful, happy, joyful, unending love for you to share with the rest of the world. Because they are in your image. Every culture says that. It's not something new. Christianity says you are made in his image. So if you understand and comprehend that, there should be no sorrow there. Vedanta says, Amritasya Putraha, you are the children of divinity. So if you are the children of divinity, you are divine. Then behave like one. The sadhana, the practice is to start behaving like that. it's hard because the grudges in our mind are so solidified. Not just from this birth, but thousands of births in the past. Takes a while to get rid of it, so that's fine. What's the hurry? So that's the essential summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Once we understand, Tattvamasi makes absolute sense. I am that truth. I am that Brahman. I am that all-pervading reality that manifests as many in this world. That's the idea. So we're going back to chapter number 4. We go to verse number 39. Shaddhavan labhate jnanam. So we'll recite this verse. Shaddhavan labhate jnanam. Tatparas samyatendriyah. Jnanam labdva param shantim. Achirenadi gacchati. Shaddhavan labhate jnanam. The one who has faith acquires and comprehends jnanam. That's what it means, the first quarter of the verse. So what is Shraddha? Anybody? Maharaj? Faith means what? I don't want trust, English translation. I want you to explain that to me.
Trust in a supreme being. So trust in something else.
There is no something else. There is no something else. You're on the right track. Absolutely right. It's true. Anybody else? Yes, ma.
Trust.
Why are you so serious? Smile. Yes. There's no reason. This is not a class where you become serious, okay? Yeah, we have no business doing that. Absolutely not. What is it, ma?
Trust, faith.
Yeah, I don't want English translation. I want you to explain to me your understanding of what is Shraddha. Because there is no real translation in English of this word. That's why. Yes, sir.
Tamil. It means that
I'm
part of Om or I'm Om.
See, in a way, that's true.
By or surrender.
It's one of the biggest factors there. Surrender to whom? Surrender to whom? She hit it on the head. Surrender to yourself. Because surrender always implies that there is something else or someone else that you surrender to. No, 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 no. You surrender to your real self, which means you give up this limited identity. But because you don't have that knowledge yet completely, and that's why you're going to the guru, to the teacher, to the preceptor. You need to go to the teacher with Shraddha, that absolute faith about something that you don't know completely, so that through inquiry you come to know it. Because without that faith, inquiry won't happen. And without inquiry, knowledge will not come. And if the knowledge don't come, then we are where we started. We are going like the Koluka Bill. It travels miles and miles and miles, but doesn't go anywhere. Don't do that. So Shraddhavan, one who has Shraddha, one who has absolute faith in the scriptures and the teacher, gains the knowledge. Labhate jnanam. It says labhate. It's a very interesting word. Labhate. gets. Labhate means gets. Those who have faith, they get knowledge. What do you mean get? Somebody's going to come and drop it in your lap. That's it. Huh? No, no. The idea is what? After the hardest and sincerest effort that we have put, we need His grace for the knowledge to come. That is why it says labhate. Without His grace, nothing happens. How do we qualify for His grace? It's not that His grace is only, His grace falls only upon few people that are His choice people, and then the rest of us are all useless, so there is no grace. That's not the case. His grace is always there. We have to qualify ourselves for that. On a severe winter night like Chicago, minus 50 degrees, if you are sitting in a corner in a ground and shivering like crazy, but you know that 200 feet away there's a big nice fire and there are people sitting around it and keeping themselves warm, and you wonder, sitting this far away, why am I not getting the heat? My dear fellow, if you want the heat and the comfort, you go near the fire. You have to qualify yourself. So how do we qualify? By rising from the limited entity perception to divine entity perception. That's what all these chapters are all about. That's why. So that is how labhate happens. Jnanam. Teachers teaching the scriptures, if our mind is pure, intellect is subtle, and if we have acquired full-fledged sadhana chatushtaya, then once the teacher teaches, only once, it settles down as our own knowledge. Neither the teacher has to repeat, nor we need to review. But we are not there, we are not even close. That's why all these acharyas come and teach us the same thing time and time and time and again and again and again in different ways. Because they're so compassionate, they're so loving, they're so kind. They know we'll get there, but we need a push. So they keep pushing us. The fact that we sit through the lectures is a very gratifying thing, because we know that this is important to me. As the importance of that rises in your life and gets higher and higher priority, the knowledge will come. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Sorry, I have difficulty keeping the pages in line. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatparaha samyateendriyaha. To whom? The one who has controlled the sense organs, the jnanendriya as well as the karmendriya, the five sense organs through which we perceive the world, and the five organs of action through which we respond back to the world. When those are in full, complete, absolute control, then mind becomes pure, mind stops going outward, mind turns inward, which is uparati, samadhi shatka sampatti. And it doesn't happen tomorrow. And then day after tomorrow we are free. Hey, 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 party. It happens over a long period of time where you will practice sincerely, seriously, unequivocally, unconditionally. Listen, guys, we need to put up the effort. Result will come. So when that happens, jnanam comes. to those who have controlled pure mind and subtle and pure intellect. And then what happens? Jnanam labdhva param shanti. The one who has acquired and comprehended this knowledge becomes eternally blissful. The jnanam that is acquired from the teacher, when it is practiced in our life, it becomes vijnanam, also known as wisdom. Jnanam is knowledge. Practice of that jnanam in our life is wisdom. So when we start practicing that knowledge in our day-to-day life, because even having realized that I am that Brahman, you still have a role to play. As long as this limited entity, this conditioned status is there, we must play that role. We must play that role, as Gurudev used to say, with gusto. Like an actor, a good actor plays the role. And we almost think, yes, that's him or her. But that's not the case. But they just play the role so good. So, when that wisdom comes to us, we play that role with such a gusto that the world says, wow. But we know we are nothing, we are no, even not even close to that entity. We are the one who pervades it. That is the jnanam. Achirena shantachi means eternal. The one goes to eternal, blissful, peaceful mind. So, that is the glory. That is the glory that can be achieved by practicing the knowledge, by expressing Shraddha in the teachings of the scriptures and the teacher who teaches those scriptures. So there are three qualifications outlined in this particular stanza. Shraddhavan, that's first qualification, Shraddha. The second qualification is tatparaha, excited, devoted, serious, sincere, there's an Urdu couplet that says, aaye hain tere dar pe to kuch karke uthenge. आए हैं तेरे दर पे तो कुछ करके उठेंगे या वसल ही हो जाएगा या मर के उठेंगे. हाँ, that kind of strength we must have. I am at your door, O Lord, and I am going to achieve this oneness. And if not, then in doing that effort, I will drop this body. That kind of readiness must be. That's why not every Tom, Dick and Harry becomes a Mahatma. Because this level of dedication is very difficult. Very difficult. So tatparaha, that is the second qualification. The third qualification is sanyatendriyaha, the control of all the Jnanendriyas, five of them, and all the Karmendriyas, five of them, totally 10. Now, if you go back to 34th verse, it starts with Tadviddhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. So, those three items. Pranipatena, Pariprasnena, Sevaya. Those three relate to these three. Nothing in this beautiful book is written at random. Everything is fully, completely connected, so that we understand by doing what, we will get what. Our scriptures don't give you a command and say, okay, you do this or else. No. When they give you a command, they give you the methodology by which you can achieve that. And they also tell you what happens once you achieve it. It's a complete manual of how to live life. So then with that, so these three qualifications practiced well make the intellect, the buddhi, so pure, so subtle, so ready to accept this knowledge and make it your own. And therefore, in our shastra, it says, that to acquire and retain knowledge, you need two things. One, purity of mind. Second, clarity of thought. Purity of mind and clarity of thought. Purity of mind comes from practicing karma yoga, upasana yoga. Clarity of thought comes from listening with that pure mind, the guru's teaching, practicing contemplation, and eventually going to meditation.